Edwards, the coffee with the extra flavor lift, brings you Night Editor. As the presses roll, Hal Burdick swings into another of his famous Night Editor yarns. Tonight, a dramatic story out of Nazism's brutal empire titled Yesterday's Glory.
Sitting there on the hospital porch, the man known as Private First Class Ed Gregory watched the groups of soldiers with an impassive face and smiled inwardly, thinking how great their surprise would be if they knew that under the uniform of Private Gregory was the person of Stormtrooper Oberleutnant Franz Kaiser.
Well, as often is the case, Hal had a visitor in his office tonight, and Bobby wondered whether they were going to get out for their customary between editions cup of coffee. The late mail edition was just locking up when Bob saw the man leaving, so now he strolls over to Hal's glassed-in cubbyhole on the far side of the newsroom, and he greets the boss with...
I suppose your pal put you so far behind in your work, Hal, you haven't time to go out for coffee tonight.
Well, how about brewing our own in the home ec kitchen, Bobby? Yeah, as soon as the press run starts and we have a chance to look over this edition.
That's okay with me.
Sit down, rest yourself until the office boy brings up the papers.
Oh, boy, that's an invitation I'll accept. My tired.
So you noticed that caller of mine, did you?
Gosh, how could I help it, Hal? He was here so long I thought he'd rented living quarters. I bet you were telling him a story.
No. No, he was telling one to me.
Huh? Say, when somebody spins you a yarn... That's news.
Yeah, I guess you're right, Bobby. But believe me, this was a story worth listening to. An incredible incident out of the last days of the war in Europe. Yeah? I'll use it as the basis for a short story someday.
Tell you what I'll do, Hal.
Yeah?
I'll offer to do all the coffee making if you'll tell it to me now.
Well, now, that's a bargain, son. This friend of mine has been on duty as a doctor in an army hospital back on the East Coast. He rounded up most of the facts, but if I ever write it, it will go something like this. Oberleutnant Franz Kaiser, administrator of the big prison camp, sat at his desk, his thick fingers drumming impatiently on the flat surface before him. From the north, the west, the south, the night wind brought the incessant thunder of cannon fire. Within a matter of days, hours perhaps, enemy tanks would be smashing their way into this place of death and cruelty. An empire built on brutality was crumbling, and men who once called themselves the super race were being buried under the ruins. Franz Kaiser smiled, and there was brutality in the parting of the lips. Yeah, defeated they might be, yes, but conquered never. Not while there were men like himself in whom the fanatical worship of Nazism was so deeply ingrained it could never die. The fires might burn unseen, but they would never be quenched. The lessons of the past were too well learned ever to be forgotten, and in some distant tomorrow, yesterday's glory would return. His body stiffened at a knock on the door. It opened and a corporal stood before him, arm outstretched in salute. Yes, Corporal. It has been done, Oberleutnant. The man's face was pale. You are sure? I followed your orders to the letter. You left no trace? None. The man is eradicated as completely as though he never existed. Only his uniform and effects, which I left in your quarters as you instructed. And no one knows? No one, Oberleutnant. Everything was done secretly. You and I are the only ones who ever will know what happened to him. Good. He stood up. The corporal's staring eyes saw that his hand had moved close to the pistol lying on the desk. They darted back to his face inquiringly as the officer went on. Only you and I slumped to the floor awkwardly. Oberleutnant Kaiser spoke into the silence that followed the shot. Now, I am the only one who knows. Which is the way I intended it should be all along. On the sunny mid-morning of a day several weeks later, groups of soldiers loafed on the broad verandas and the patches of green between the buildings of an army hospital on the east coast of the United States. On the faces of some, the terror of long months in prison camps still showed its tracings. With others, it was discernible in bodies not yet returned to the strength that had wasted away in those days of torture and starvation. But there was eagerness in their voices and their smiles. Their eyes looked toward a future of peace and security and the healing that forgetfulness would bring the scars left by those days and nights of inhumanity. Victory had marched across the battlefields of Europe. Each day, those who were strong enough were being called up for discharge and returned to civilian life. They talked of homes and loved ones waiting for their return. of farms in Wisconsin, desks that awaited them in offices in Chicago, San Francisco, Seattle, a garage in Texas, a hardware store in a New England village. All that is save one who sat apart and took no share in the excitement. The man they knew as Private First Class Ed Gregory. No one knew much about him. He'd been one of the thousands released from the prison camps in those closing days of the advance. One of the many who were hurried away from those scenes of horror to the waiting transports. And they knew something else that made them respect his aloofness. He had no family waiting for him. Greg was an orphan. Yeah, probably hurt the guy to see the other so excited about going home. Let him keep to himself. Sure. Easier on him, most likely. And sitting there on the veranda, the man known as Private First Class Ed Gregory watched them with an impassive face. But inwardly he was smiling, and the smile was like the light touch of a razor that leaves no outward mark, but warns of the danger that lies along its gleaming edge. Inwardly he smiled, and thought of how great their surprise would be if they knew that under the uniform of Private First Class Gregory was the person of Oberleutnant Franz Kesel. Disguising his identity had been easy. It was keeping up the pretense that was hard. Hard to throw off those years of training as a stormtrooper, to be humble, follow the orders of those Schwein who were not fit to march in the company of such as he. If just for one little moment he could go back to the glory of those yesterdays, see the long lines marching with machine-like precision, hear the Sieg Heils echoing against the skies, watch the arms outflung in salute. Well, at least it was soon over. Tomorrow they would give him his discharge. He could disappear among the millions that are America for a little while. Then a job on a freighter, Antwerp, and at last the fatherland again. Yeah, it was as easy as that, for he was clever. He had not stayed behind to face a firing squad for his crimes as head of the prison camp. He had found a way to live, to go back, and help rebuild that old glory. He was Franz Kesel. He closed his eyes, and memory painted pictures across the darkened lids, and as so often, that first meeting with the man Gregory in the prison office, when the idea first came to him.
They say we bear a strong resemblance to one another.
Yeah? I can't say that I'm proud of it.
A little courtesy might win you special favors. I'll take whatever the other guys have to take. Suit yourself, old-timer.
A quick look of surprise from the prisoner. Hey, you talk like an American.
I lived there for a number of years. My father was in the consular service. Where is your home?
Any place I hang my hat.
But your family home?
I haven't any. I was raised in an orphanage.
No brothers, sisters, cousins?
No one. And the seed that was planted in that first meeting grew in the mind of Franz Kesel. Until when the Allies crossed the Rhine, it blossomed into a plan. Prison camps were falling to them. Men were being released by thousands. Camp commanders were being made to pay for their tortures. But not Franz Kesel. He was clever, a stormtrooper to the very fiber, and stormtroopers did not give up so easily. Among thousands being hurried back to the transports and on to America, there would be little danger of too close a checkup. The resemblance, the language would help, and no family to confuse things once he got there. And so, here he was. And tomorrow he would be discharged, free to go his way, and someday to go back. Perhaps to become a great leader, he was clever enough. Perhaps someday the long lines would stand at attention for him. The Hiles would echo his name. The relaxation of his contentment with himself, the warmth of the sun on the porch, made him drowsy, and daydreams gave way to real ones. He was back in those days of the past. Yeah, Berlin it was, with the crowds along the streets, waiting for the Führer to pass. Himself in uniform, legs apart, hands clasped behind him, muscles tight, body rigid. His first duty as one of the elect. Proud, haughty, joyful in the cruelty of his task. No, it was Nuremberg, the stadium and the games. The insignia of an under-officer on his uniform now. Assigned to a place of honor among the guard that stood beneath the box where the leader and his staff sat watching. Or Munich. Yeah, Munich it was. Outside the beer hall on one of those days of the great anniversary. Ah, yeah, that was it. The dream was coming clearer now. He was there, waiting for the great ones to come out. He could hear the excited babble of voices from the waiting crowd, so real it was. And now the clump, clump, clump of the marching feet.
Oh, they were coming out of the building. In a moment, they would be passing him. And yet, in his dream, he seemed to be sitting down. What was the matter with him? The Führer and his staff were coming. He should be at attention, standing there like a statue, like a stormtrooper. Yet, with the madness of dreams, his body refused to respond to his frantic struggles. Oh, why couldn't he move? This was treason. He could be condemned to death for it. Closer and closer they were coming, and still he sat there as if held by steel chains. And now someone was nudging him. A voice was muttering, "On your feet. It's the general and his staff." He cried out sharply, opened his eyes, blinking against the blinding rush of sunlight, trying to fight his way back to reality. Where was he? What was happening? This wasn't Munich. Yet, there were men all around him, standing at attention as in his dream. And the clump, clump of booted feet, that too had come out of the dream with him. He looked around him, dazed. A group of officers was striding down the porch. He saw the stars of a general, rows of battle ribbons. And again, the voice of the man beside him, "Salute, you dope!" "Salute? Oh, why, of course, salute. The fool didn't have to tell him. He was Oberleutnant Franz Kaisel, smarter than any of them." His body stiffened, his chest arched, chin high. The arm swept upward, fingers extended, but not to touch the forehead. It was shooting out at an angle from the shoulder, and down the porch rang, "Heil Hitler!" Through the glaze of sudden awareness, he saw only their eyes. Kindled first by amazement, flaring with wonderment, then cooling slowly to the tempered steel of understanding. Someone moved toward him, but he did not feel the hands that gripped his arms. Franz Kaisel knew only one thing. Yesterday's glory had betrayed him into tomorrow's judgment.
Speaking of tomorrow's judgment, folks, if you serve Edwards Coffee tomorrow morning or any time, your good judgment will decide that Edwards Coffee gives you a delicious extra flavor lift. That's because every pound is roasted and blended for extra richness, according to Mr. Dwight Edwards' own personal formula. Yes, the choicest Central and South American coffee beans are blended with a skill and care that leaves nothing to chance. Then roasted golden brown by the modern thermal process, which develops the full natural coffee flavor. And to capture and keep this pure coffee goodness and that wonderful aroma, every pound is kept in the whole bean and fresh ground to your order at the store. Edwards Coffee is real coffee, believe me. The kind you'll always want to serve in your home. Try a pound. If you don't agree, Edwards Coffee gives you an extra flavor lift, your money refunded. Edwards Coffee is featured at all Safeway stores.
Well, you certainly packed a lot of suspense into tonight's yarn, Hal. What's ahead for us next week?
Well, it's the dramatic human interest story behind the resignation of a superior judge, which happened the day a white-faced, frightened boy stood before the bar of justice, pleading guilty to a charge of robbery. It's a yarn that reaches a surprising conclusion, and one I hope you'll all like. It's titled Decision of the Court, and you're all invited to join us in the newsroom next week when I tell it. Good night.
Be sure to join us next week at this same time when the Roar of the Presses will introduce another dramatic night editor story by Hal Burdick. This is Bill Baldwin saying good night for Edwards Coffee.